Amen. Good to see you in Sunday school this morning. Amen. Good to be here. It's good to have the Coomers with us. And we're going to hear quite a bit from him in the next little while. And so we're going to start off with a word of prayer. And then I'm going to turn the service over to him at this time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, this has been a long time in coming. We've been waiting for the last couple of years to have the Coomers come. And Lord, I pray that you'd use them in our midst these next couple of days. Lord, we dedicate this Sunday school hour to thee. We thank you, Lord, that we're here in this place to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that you just fill each and every one of us with thy presence, thy fullness. Lord, Brother Coomer, as he breaks the word of life to us, Lord, gives us some helps. Lord, as well, I pray that we'd have ears to hear. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Brother Coomer, you come. Thanks.
Well, we're really glad to be here today. And first of all, I want to start off with showing a video this morning, about a 5 to 7 minute video. I want to explain it. You're going to see the testimony of a young pastor. And he came to the first counseling conference that we held, and God changed his life. And a few years later, he asked me to help him because he'd been an assistant pastor for 13 years, and he wanted to become a pastor. And so approximately 3 years ago, he asked me if I'd help him. I said, yes, I will. Today, he is the pastor of Mount Vernon Baptist Church in Mount Vernon, Ohio, doing a wonderful job. But I think you'll see in the video, he explains it very well about how God changed his life and what were the lusts that were causing his problem. And so we'll look at that right now.
Once upon a time, there lived an angry man who justified his anger as a righteous anger. It didn't matter what others thought, for obviously they were wrong and, well, he was right. Pride was killing him, and he didn't even know it. Blinded to the truth through self-deception. Well, this young man had grown up in church. He was saved at an early age, but trained through the example of his church that anger, bitterness, resentment, were all acceptable as long as you looked the part. Well, it's a little bit of how I was prior to understanding what the Word of God truly says on the topic of anger. When I got married, my wife and I, we had our first child. We had an argument about how to discipline. Her way, God is love. We discipline in love. The rod? Absolutely. But always for the child to help them see their sin and correct their behavior. My way? Oh, we're going to correct some behavior. God is full of wrath and he must judge sin. I need to make my children fear God. Fear and anger led the charge. Well, after all, this is what my childhood church taught me through their example and their preaching. I was introduced to Brother Terry Coomer through my pastor. I had scheduled an academic training course for the week of August 2015. And I was planning on attending and needed the certification for my position at the church. However, late one night, my pastor called me and told me plans were changing. We'd now be going to the National Hope Biblical Counseling Training Conference in Little Rock, Arkansas. I thought, who, me? Why do I need counseling training? I know what the Bible says. Upset and angry, but respectful on the outside, I canceled all of my plans and booked my rental car and the other rental cars. Our hotel accommodations were made. Our plane tickets were purchased. Little did I know that my life was going to change drastically. You see, just prior to this, in January of 2015, I had had to send my oldest daughter to a boarding school 1,500 miles away because she refused to listen to me. She had gotten herself caught up in sin. My wife couldn't help her. She refused her. She refused our pastor's counsel, would lie straight to his face. And anyone else, simply, somewhere along the lines, I had lost her heart. I don't know when it happened, but somewhere in the past, I lost it. I could be like many people and won't blame it on others. Yet the truth was, I was not the man that I was supposed to be. Anger controlled me. Proverbs 25:28 says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." That was my life. What I didn't know was I was on a fast track to lose everything. My walls were crumbling. My city was broken. My marriage, my other children, my ministry were all going to crumble. I didn't know when it would crumble. I didn't know when it would happen or how, but I now know it would have. You see, God was not the Lord of my life. I was. I was blinded to my own sin. Through God's grace, I went to the conference and I came back a changed man. I truly learned what all the Bible says about anger, not just the select few verses I wanted to hear. Be ye angry and sin not. I learned how to have a real, an intimate, personal, passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. When I read Dr. Coomer's booklet on how to have a real relationship with God, I broke down. Truly repented and changed. You see, sure, I knew the Bible. I read it every day. I memorized it. I could quote it. I studied it. I grew up in church, but it wasn't truly changing me. In some ways, yes, it was changing. But see, only the areas I wanted it to change. Once I understood Pastor Coomer's method of Bible study and really started asking God to search me and know me, before I jumped into the Bible, God speak to me. And I started to grow and I started to overcome. The key was I started listening to God instead of blocking him out. Listening to God and allowing him to lead me, allowing him to point out areas of my life that didn't line up with his word. Through tears, I wrote a 5-page letter to my daughter asking her for forgiveness and really pouring my heart out to her. I pleaded with her to tell me what I did wrong, how I could avoid the same mistakes with my 5 other children. Through this and many other times, I began to repair our relationship. Though we were 1,500 miles apart, I really focused on changing, showing her I was a different dad. My life was different. My family was different. My ministry was different. Because I was different. It wasn't other people, it was me. I was now walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lusts of my flesh, which in my case were anger and pride. Since this time, my daughter graduated high school as salutatorian. She's enrolled in our church's Faith Bible Institute program while taking additional college courses online. She sings in our choir. She teaches in our Master Clubs program. She's a teacher's aide in our school. She's active for Christ. She's got a burden for lost people, a desire to glorify God with her life. Just a few years prior, she didn't really care about God at all. She was saved, yes. She had no doubt, and I had no doubt. She received Christ by faith, but had allowed sin to corrupt and thwart the fruit God was trying to bring. She knew God was convicting her. She just didn't want to listen. Now she's different because I'm different. Because of Brother Coomer's conference, because of Brother Coomer's counseling, because of the guidance and the wisdom that God has given to Brother Coomer. I'm so thankful for Hope Baptist Church's National Biblical Counseling Conference. Greatest week of my life. So thankful to Jesus Christ, my Lord, for his grace and his mercy. God bless you.
It's not just the people in the pew. You know, we've counseled many, many pastors and assistant pastors and missionaries who don't have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God. It is possible to go to church 3 times a week, 4 times a week. It's possible to read your Bible daily and not have a real relationship with God. So I'm going to talk about Hope Biblical Counseling Center for just a few minutes, and then we'll open our Bible and get going here. Hope Biblical Counseling Center is a place where we try very much to have compassion upon people, those that are hurting. The people that come to us, they're not coming to us because of that everything's going well in their life. They're coming to us because they're losing hope or they have lost hope. And so Hope Biblical Counseling Center, our desire is to give people hope in their lives. And our desire is to encourage them to have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God, and to move from doer mentality, performance-based Christianity, to a spirit-controlled life. And the ministry of Hope Biblical Counseling Center is worldwide, and since the pandemic has started, we have counseled people, hundreds of people, all over the world. In fact, we've counseled people from 10 different foreign countries, including Vietnam. And so I am very thankful for that opportunity, but it has been, we have had no stop, no stop button at all since the pandemic started. And of course, we didn't have a stop button before that either, but we've done more than 900 weeks of counseling in the last 2 years, which would be the equivalent of about 15, 16 years. And so really busy. And Kim is right with me. Where is she? Are you in here, honey? Where are you at? There you are. Okay. Stand up. Wave. And so, I have a story to tell you. The last time we were here, she'd went to the restroom, came back in, and sat on the back row. And Pastor Sullivan said, "Where's Kim at? Why don't you stand up and say hello?" And she had just opened a bottle of water that had been frozen and went straight up in the air and came right down on her skirt. And then he asked her to stand up. So she looked down at her skirt and just went ahead and stood up, So what can you say? We have a website, hopebiblicalcounselingcenter.com. And there is a wealth of information up there. There's more than 300 audio messages up on different counseling issues. We also have YouTube. We have about 68 messages up right now on YouTube, and we add a video on a weekly basis when we're home. If you subscribe to that, you can get a notification when a new video comes up. Some people are better at visual, some people are better at listening, some people are better at reading, so it's become a valuable tool for us in our counseling. I really want to mention this to you, and I'm going to show you some of our booklets and books. And Kim and I, I'm the author of 19 different books and booklets on different counseling subjects. The most important booklet out there is, as Josh said, How to Have a Real Relationship with God, The Work of the Holy Spirit in a Person's Life. Now, most of the people we deal with, none of them have a real relationship with God. And so this is extremely important. Its companion is How to Have a Daily Time with God. And we do that with reading the Bible with a purpose, and it has some fantastic tools in it. The third book this is in the order in which we start our counselees out, and The Thought Life of the Christian. We teach them how to control their thoughts using God's tools. And this is extremely important because you can be out of fellowship with God by what you think. And most people don't realize that. And we'll talk about that through this week. And then the most recent booklet, this is the one that just recently came out, Do You Have a Critical Spirit? The Sin That Hurts. I was in Florida recently, and Pastor went up to the book table, and he picked it up and looked at me and said, "Uh-huh." He said, "Yeah, that's really needed." And so that is new. So, and then Rearing Spiritual Children to Serve the Savior. And this is a family conference, and many hundreds of pastors across the U.S. and Canada are using this book and I believe that it is the go-to book when you're talking about rearing spiritual children. Pastor Chris Starr in Brogue, Pennsylvania, Mount Zion Baptist Church, he told me, he says, this is the book we use, and I recommend to every pastor to use it. And so those are the books. There's a wealth of information out on the book table. You can see Kim, and she'll be glad to help you with that. And we hope that you will be able to take them and use them, and God will use them in your lives. I'd like for you to take your Bible now. Oh, one thing I did want to mention to you is that we have two things. A weekly email when we're home on biblical counseling issues. The most recent one of the most recent ones was dealing with frustration. That realizing that frustration is a tool of Satan. Most people they just think that frustration is a part of life, and the reason why is because they've never learned to live without it. And so we teach our counselees how that they can be frustration free. And how using God's tools can help us to do that, because frustration is a tool that Satan uses in our life. Now, also, all of the books and booklets have been translated into 31 different languages around the world and are used by independent Baptist missionaries with our permission in 31 different countries around the world. So we thank God for that. And many of them are using it, and a lot of them have attended the national conference. I know we held a national conference here. Thank all the people who came out for it. The next one is September 2023 in Omaha, Nebraska, at Midwestern Baptist Church. We wanted to hold one in the central part of the United States. We've had more than 1,000 pastors and missionaries that have went through the counseling program now, that conference, and it is been helpful to a lot of people around the world, so we're thankful for that. Let's take our Bibles. And by the way, if you want the weekly email, you can see Kim and you can sign up for that on the back table. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Well, I got to get there. Proverbs 13. All right. How many of you have read your Bible and you got down at the end of the chapter and you didn't know what you read? Raise your hand for me. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, many times people will come away and say, oh, I had a great time with God today in His Word. But if I ask you what you learned, you would say, I don't know. I had a lady in one of our churches, and we started 5 churches across the U.S., and they're all going today. We're thankful for that. They all have their own buildings, and all the buildings are paid for, and all of them have their own pastors, and we're thankful for that. In fact, we paid for 3 of them before we left, so we are very thankful for that. Now, I had a lady in one of our churches that she would come by me every Sunday and by the back door, and she'd say, oh, Pastor, that was a great message. I mean, really good. And, you know, and then she'd walk out, and, you know, you're sitting there thinking, wow, okay, great, you know. And she did that for quite a while, and finally, I thought, you know what? I'm going to ask her a question, because I'm a question asker. And she came by and she says, oh, that was a great message today. Boy, that was good. And I said, well, what did I preach on? She looked at me and she says, I don't know, but it was good. Silliness. Okay. The Bible here is plain on this subject. Look, and I want you to look at verse 12 with me, and it says, hope deferred maketh the heart what, folks? Sick. Now, I ask you to help me, so you are going to have to help me, okay? But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Now, when people come to us, they've lost hope or they're losing hope. But when they come to us, their heart is what? Sick. hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Several years back, we bought a house, new one. And we thought we were going to retire there, but that didn't happen. But we decided we would do the landscaping. That was a mistake, but we decided we would do it. But Kim likes, you know, pine trees. And so down, we were right at the end of a cul-de-sac, and right beside our cul-de-sac was a cornfield. And there was a drainage ditch that went down there. And so we put our couple pine trees down there. And the water came by, you know, it rained and come down that ditch. And those pine trees, whoosh. And whenever a person learns to have a real intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God, when the desire cometh, it's like a tree of life. You know, I want more, I want more, I want more, I want more. Teach me. And we teach our counselees that one of the things that they have to ask God is to teach them. Show me your message for me today. Make it real to my heart. Help me to understand today. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me. Now here it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Now look at verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be what? It didn't say might be. It didn't say possibly could be. It said shall be destroyed. Now, that word despiseth is an interesting word. It means doesn't give proper attention to. So if you're saying to me that you're reading your Bible every day, but you don't know what you read, you're despising the Word. Because God, the Holy Spirit, wants to teach you. He does at least 70 different things in your life, and He wants to teach you. He wants you to learn. In fact, the Bible says that. He wants you to learn. Now, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. I want you to understand, in a backwards way, this kind of helped my faith, because all we see around us is destruction. Now, I know there are a good group of people here today, but there are people that have attended here like they do every church, and you know what? They're no longer serving God today. Their life's a mess. Why? Because they what? They despised what? The Word. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But I also want you to understand there's something very, very important here. I tell people all the time that John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now think about it like this. God the Father loved you so much that He sent Jesus Christ, God the Son, to die on Calvary's cross for you. And He was buried and He rose again that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And then He went back to heaven and sent God the Holy Spirit, who loves you so much. He came to indwell you and to teach you and to help you and comfort you. God loves you. He's given you tools. Now, I told the young people in the college chapel on Friday night, and I'm sure some of you have heard this before. You know, when we got married, Kim did this horrible thing. She bought me a toolbox. Craftsman. All kinds of nice-looking tools in there. Now, me and a hammer aren't even close to being friends. I am not mechanically inclined, And because of the fact that I don't want Satan to use frustration in my life, I just stay out of that business. Kim's mechanically inclined. So the way we do it at our house is I read the instructions and she fixes it. But you know what? If you never take the tools out of the toolbox, nothing ever gets fixed. Amen? And so God, the Holy Spirit is here, and God has given us tools to use. But if I ask somebody, tell me the tools that the Bible talks about for you to use, and they're going to go, huh? So if you never take the tools out of the toolbox, nothing ever gets fixed. And so we teach our counselees about God's tools and how to use them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I do have to embrace the Holy Spirit in my life. And as I told the young people, we're not talking about the charismatic movement. We're not going to get up here and run around this auditorium and hoot like a freight train. Or run down this aisle and roll and chew carpet or whatever. None of that. And Pastor Sullivan wouldn't put up for that. I believe he wouldn't. Okay? So, he that despiseth the word shall be destroyed. You know, as a young man, I'd been saved about a year. And I went after my Christian life the same way I went after being a pro baseball player. No, I never stepped onto the field to get beat. At all. I came to win. And if you were going to beat me, you were going to have to beat me with the best I got. And I can throw a baseball 95 miles an hour. Now that's bringing it. It's good old country hardball. And so I went after my Christian life the same way. And after about a year, I was wore out. And my thought was, there's got to be more to this than this. And so, and on my lunch hour, I went to a park that was just near where I was working and pulled under the tree, and I had a yellow pad, and I opened the book of 1 John, and I told God, I said, I don't know what to do here. I need your help. I feel miserable. I want you to teach me. Show me. And I started reading 1 John. And I had my yellow pad, and I would ask God, show me, teach me. And he would just write out the page, and make it real. And I'd write it down. Sometimes I was in tears saying, thank you for showing that to me. I've never seen that before. That's wonderful. By the way, all of our counselees have to read the book of 1 John every day for 30 days. Two reasons. Number one is that it is the book that tells you that God loves you. Now, the people that come to us for counseling, as far as they're concerned, they're not even sure that God loves them. Remember, they've lost hope or they're losing hope. And why is God allowing this in my life? Well, because you're not using the tools God has given you. That's the reason. And someone says, well, why doesn't God take this out of my life? Because God's already told you what to do. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so as I begin to learn and the Holy Spirit talk. So in essence, 33 times in the book of 1 John, it says that God loves you. Now, if there's anything that every person in this room needs to know this morning is that God loves you. Amen? Yeah. That God loves you. And the Holy Spirit is here to help you. And He wants to. But He can't help you if you're not willing to use the tools. The second thing is it's the book that teaches you how to have fellowship with God. And I'm going to talk about that this morning in the morning message, so I'm not going to expound on it right now. But I can tell you this. Not nearly enough attention given to that subject in Christians' lives. And we think that we can live the Christian life as a doer mentality person and living in the power of the flesh and everything will be okay. No, it will not. A person out of fellowship with God is capable of doing anything. And their life is going to be miserable. Now, I want you to turn back with me to Romans chapter 15. Now, I covered this with the young people Friday night. And this is one of the early passages that God showed me. Now, I said earlier that God wants us to learn, right? Okay, this is where He says it. Look at verse 4, and it says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," that's before you and I got here, "for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our," what, ladies and gentlemen? Learning. So God wants you to what? Learn. God wants you to learn. He wants you to grow. "That we, through patience and comfort of the" what? "Scriptures," might have what? Hope. So God wants you to learn. He wants you to have hope. And where's the answer to your life? In the Scriptures. But it's not gonna, you're not going to get it if you're just reading it mundanely. And you get done and you don't know what you read. And you expect God to bless your life if you're not going to let the Holy Spirit teach you and use the tools that God has given you. And you expect that to go well. It's not going to go well. Now turn over to verse 13. The Bible says, "Now the God of hope." Remember I said that we're about giving people hope, giving them and having compassion to help them. "Now the God of hope," and He is the God of hope. "Fill" who? You. "Fill you with" all what, folks? Joy. So God wants you to have joy. "And peace." So God wants you to have peace. But notice it says "in believing." So you're going to have to believe that God wants you to have hope, joy, and peace in your life. You got to believe that. Now, some of you may be sitting here today and you're in marital issues or you're having children issues or you're having work issues and you're saying, "I don't know that I have any more." There may be a lot of people in here today that don't have hope, joy, and peace. 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 Now notice it says that ye may abound in what? Hope. Now I want you to, for just a minute, think with me, get a picture in your mind. What do you think of when you think of abounding? Now, I grew up in Indiana. We had cornfields. Far as the eye could see. And when they cut down the corn, you know, kids like to play in the fields. And I always thought about abounding like just running across that field and not having a care in the world. You know, jump up in the air. Yeah, all right. Abounding. But maybe you've got a different picture of it, but think about what abounding, not only does God want you to have hope, joy, and peace, He wants you to abound in it. Amen? He wants you to abound in it. Now that's not Dr. Coomer saying that, that's right here in God's Word. That you may abound in hope. Now, here is the big player in the room. Through the power of who, ladies and gentlemen? It didn't say through the power of Tim, through the power of Linda, through the power of Joe. It said through the power of the Holy Ghost. And when we start talking about that, people start getting scared, you know. There's no reason to be. The Holy Spirit is the master teacher. He is here to help you. He's here to give you comfort. He's here to give you peace. He's here to give you joy. He's here to give you hope. And I'm so thankful for that. I would encourage you to go through the, you know, one of the things that I've had the opportunity to do, I disciplined myself to do it. As a pastor, I taught through the New Testament, verse by verse, word by word, phrase by phrase, and did it multiple times. The first time through, Pastor, it took me 3.5 years to get through Revelation. But I made it. Didn't take me as long the second time or the third time. But a lot of our attendance in church was as big on Wednesday night as it was on Sunday morning because we were teaching through the New Testament verse by verse, word by word, phrase by phrase. Words are important. God's words are important. And it is the Holy Spirit that has to teach us. And notice it says, through the power of the Holy Ghost. So if I want to have joy, I want to have peace, I want to have hope, I'm going to have a real relationship with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I want to have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God. Now I want to ask you a question, because I always ask them. When was the last time, you don't have to raise your hand for this, when was the last time you had an answer to prayer and you really knew it was God? Have you ever heard people pray? Bless all the missionaries around the world. Well, I think, come on. Just like I got to deal with sin every day. So we teach our counselees this. Before I do anything else, God, is there any sin that stands between you and me today? I want you to show it to me. And you know who's going to show it to you? The Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 17:9 says that our heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? So you can't know your own heart. Verse 10 says, I, God, search the heart. So 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, it is the Holy Spirit that searches your heart. So I'm going to ask him to search my heart and show me if there's any sin that stands between him and me. Y'all with me? Rather than just say, forgive me for all my sins. Well, what are they? You got to get specific. You got to get specific with God about what your sins are. And don't sit here and tell me you don't have sin in your life, because you still have an old nature. Wouldn't it have been great when we got saved that God took away our old nature? But he didn't. But he gave us the Holy Spirit and tools to help us deal with that. Amen? And by the way, if you don't know what the tools are and how to use them, then your children are not going to know it either. And then when it comes time for them to leave the home, you're concerned because of what are they going to do? So we have to teach them what the Holy Spirit does in their life and what He wants to do and the tools that God has given us to use and to see God work in a powerful way. You know what? I didn't get to this part with, and if the college students are in here this morning, I want to tell you this. I ran out of time. I'm just going to tell you this. If you learn to have a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God, and you learn the tools and you use them, God's going to do great and mighty things in your life. Do you know that the Bible says that we have great and mighty weapons? God's going to do great and mighty things in your life if you will submit to Him. Asking that question. By the way, asking God questions is submission, and it's one of the tools that He's given us. I submit myself to you. Search my heart. Show me where my sin is. Help me to understand it. And then I want to confess it and move away from it. Repent of it. Now, I'm going to finish with this. There's at least 82 different lusts that the Bible talks about that a Christian can have in their life. Now, those lusts, when we get somebody up in counseling having a real, intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God, 90% of their problems go away. The other 10% are surrounded by their lusts. And so we have a change sheet out and we use in our counseling. And it's out in the two booklets, What Should I Do If I'm Doubting My Salvation? And How to Deal with Worry, Anxiety, and Fear. And on a scale of 0 to 10, 0, 1, 2, 3, meaning that's not a problem. We have all 82 listed. That's not a problem. 4, 5, and 6 is getting to be a problem. 7, 8, 9, and 10, it's a demand lust controlling behavior. Ephesians 2:3, it's a desire of the mind. Now think about it. Pastor Sullivan preaches a message. You come forward because the Holy Spirit dealt with you about something. You come forward and you ask God to forgive you. Did He forgive you? Okay, but 24, 36, 48, 72 hours later, you're doing it again. So you come back the next week, same process. You know, does God forgive you? Yes, but you get up and you're doing it again. And many people get exasperated because they think, well, why doesn't God take this away from me? Well, God's not going to take it away from you because he's already told you what to do in using the tools. Y'all with me? Now, there are some wonderful and mighty things that God does in your life, but I tell you this, if you learn to submit yourself to God, have a real intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with God, learn to ask God questions, and you're going to see God do great and mighty things in your life. That's a short version of events because of time, and I got to stop now, or the pastor's going to come after me. All right, so I'll see you in the next hour, all right? Amen.